Hello, my loves. This is Lior Alexandra. Welcome to the Inner Worlds podcast, a place where we explore the microcosm of ourselves, of one another, of the whole universe, a journey inward through thought, idea, and wonder. Hello, my loves, and welcome back to the Inner Worlds podcast. Today, I have my good friend Aaron Dowdy on the podcast, and we talk about a whole range of topics, but primarily, we go over masculine and feminine energies and how the divine feminine, the empowered feminine works versus the wounded feminine, and a lot about masculine energy and our own journeys with that. Aaron is a thought leader. He is a YouTuber. He is just an all around incredible guru, shaman, enlightened, fifth dimensional being who's also a podcaster and is watching me and threatening me threatening me as I record this intro, just so you know. He made me say every word of this. There's a script, and I'm very happy to have him on, and without further ado, let's get into the episode. Welcome back, my loves, to the Inner Worlds podcast. Today, I have one of my favorite people in the world, one of my best friends.
Great intro.
Aaron Dowdy. You don't really need much of an introduction. You're really famous.
Am I a regular?
Really popular and okay. A regular on this channel.
That is true.
But a first on this podcast, my new podcast.
I know.
It's a big deal.
Am I
deal.
One of the first guests? Yeah, Patty was
yeah,
the first
Patty
guest.
Yeah, Patty was the first guest. You're the second. I just felt like I needed some girl power first.
I see.
And then I could bring
the feminine energy.
Exactly, which is what we're talking about.
And then allow
the
masculine to come in and provide structure.
That's it. Exactly. Thank you for providing some structure for us today.
You're welcome.
What I've always wanted from a podcast and why I'm doing this podcast, Aaron, is because I want a place where I don't have to be so structured.
Yeah.
You know, my videos, I do take that more masculine approach where it's like, here's these three things you got to do, or mm-hmm. here's my intention. This is what I want to teach today. And sometimes I do go off on tangents and like downloads and just talk about whatever I feel like talking about. And yeah. I do love those videos more than I like any other videos. So that's, I realized, you know, when I realized this, you know, Dakota Wint.
Yep.
So I had him on a conscious conversation a while ago.
That was weird. And
it's okay. There's a ghost in here. It's fine. I had him on a conscious conversation for my YouTube channel, and I was studying him a little bit, and I was listening to his podcast, and he kind of just does like stream of consciousness. And I was like, this is what I want to do. I just want to talk
about. What do you
mean by
stream of consciousness? He just talks.
He talks. Whatever is on his mind, whatever he's going through, whatever he just went. It's just, it's cool. It's kind of like a
it's very probably personable. Like,
yes,
you feel like you know him.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And that's really what I wanted, because I feel like the YouTube videos, it's like 10% of me. You know, you know, we don't show our entire lives, our entire personalities on YouTube. So I wanted a place where I could just be myself.
Yeah.
And that's why I wanted to do this. And so I have Aaron here today. Aaron and I have been going through an interesting journey in our own lives for the past year or so. And we talk about this all the time privately. So I thought, we've been saying this would make a really good podcast.
Yes.
Right. So
we're pretty open.
Yeah.
We're pretty open.
So
we always have been.
Basically, I've been going on this journey. I feel very young. I feel like I'm 28, right?
Yep.
But I don't feel like I feel like I'm still learning so much, and I feel like a
child.
When
is your Saturn return, by the way?
It already started, but it like hits in July 2022, something like that.
And then how long does it last?
Until I'm 31, 32.
Oh, so it's like it's a process.
It's a whole process, and you just got out of your Saturn return.
Yep.
So if anybody doesn't know what a Saturn return is, it's
in astrology.
In astrology, in 27 years or so, 27, 28 years, Saturn comes back into your birth chart, and Saturn is kind of this symbol of responsibility and of adulthood, and it's almost like you're really becoming an adult once Saturn returns into your chart.
Interesting. Yeah,
and people are really scared of it. I'm actually going to do a whole episode on Saturn return with an astrologer.
That'd be cool.
Yeah, right?
You should
really
do
cool.
that.
But people are really afraid of it because for a lot of people, it's very challenging. I don't think it was so challenging for you, though. I think you had a beautiful Saturn return.
I think a lot of, I wonder when I actually came out of it, but I think a lot of the transformation I've had during the beginning of my Saturn return, I think I went and started making YouTube videos.
Right.
So I was working a 9-to-5 job selling women's shoes or whatever. And at the time, that was when I started transitioning into like, let me figure this out on YouTube.
Right,
let me start making daily videos.
When you were 27-ish?
That maybe 27, 28. How long have I been on YouTube now? I'm 32.
Four or five years? 5 years,
yeah.
Right?
So 2017.
2017,
19,
4 years.
21. Dang,
yeah,
it's been a long time.
It's crazy because we've basically been on YouTube the same amount of time.
The same amount of time. Because we met each other, I think, maybe like 5-6 months into me being on YouTube.
Yes.
We were both starting to grow.
You had like 50,000.
Wow.
I had like around the same
at
the time, maybe a little bit less.
Yeah.
Yeah, Aaron now has over 1 million subscribers. It's crazy. In 4 years, that's insane.
Yeah.
So yeah, but when we met.
Yeah, when we met. It was through YouTube, through collabing on a YouTube video. When I look back, though, my Saturn return, I remember when I learned about numerology, I realized that I was in a, I think I was in like a 9 year.
Mm-hmm.
And that's when I was like realizing, I don't want to do this 9-to-5 job thing anymore. 9 years, a year of like healing, ending the cycle.
Yeah.
And then next year was a 1 year. And a 1 year is where you really learn your power, leadership, like going on your own path. And that's when I made the transition, was from a 9 year to a 1 year, also in conjunction with Saturn return.
Wow.
Was like, I was 28. So I was probably, I don't know when it started exactly, but 28, 29.
For most people, it's around that time. And then, you know, whatever degree it is when it really hits for you, I guess.
Right. It's like at its peak or climax.
Right.
Now that I'm coming out of it, though, the most potent transformation I've had, especially with the podcast topic of like masculine feminine energy, has been over the last 6 months of my life now.
Yes.
And before that, I was doing a lot of work, a lot of healing. You know, I think plant medicine really helped with that, kind of facilitate that process. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I mean, maybe even after my Saturn return is where like a lot of the energy started to move.
Yeah.
And I started to become more aware of that, you know.
But I do think that, I mean, your life completely changed from when your Saturn return came in and when
it did.
Completely.
Completely.
And then, the topic of our conversation today, what we really want to talk about is masculine, feminine energy. I don't know if I mentioned that.
A little bit you did.
Yeah. So that's kind of what we're, what we've been going through. And we've been updating each other on our own individual journeys throughout this time.
Yep.
And me just, like, you know, I've had to step into my masculine energy a lot, starting all these businesses that I've started since I was 25, 24.
Yeah.
And kind of stepping up for my family in a way. You know, I still, obviously, my dad is amazing, leader of our family, all of that. But I have kind of stepped into that, like, kind of like the patriarchal role in a sense.
Do you think it has to do with because you're the oldest?
Yeah, I'm the oldest
and
my parents separated. And rather than one of my brothers stepping up to be head of the household, it was kind of I stepped up, you know. I employ my family and all that. And of course, my dad is still, I feel like I didn't say this enough in the first episode and I may have upset him. So I want everybody to know right now, my dad is definitely in the picture. He's my best friend. He's amazing. Mm-hmm. You know my dad.
I love your dad. I love your dad.
He's amazing.
Your dad is amazing.
And he's definitely still like the head of our household, but I've really stepped into this kind of masculine role in my life.
Yeah.
I do employ my family.
I am
like this president CEO role where I just have all these different things that I'm always on the phone and it's just very masculine.
It's very executive. You're like a high level executive.
Thank
that's always
so
moving shit. You know, you're
but
moving.
That doesn't always feel so good for me.
I can imagine.
So in the past year, just to share where this started kind of. And this, of course, you know, Aaron is my ex-boyfriend as well.
Yeah.
And this also showed up in our relationships too. The polarity was...
The energy dynamic.
The energy dynamic was definitely off balance when we were together.
Yep.
Because I was so much... I can say for myself that I was so much in my masculine.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yeah. Well, no, it's a two-way street.
Yeah.
Because when you and I got into a relationship back in 2018, 2018.
Yeah.
We both, I think, had some... Yes, we both had some unhealed wounds that I think we were dealing with. So on my end, I was dealing with the codependency thing that I later found out was from, that I got from like when I was a child, with my mom and like feeling like, you know, she was emotionally unavailable when I was younger because she was going through a lot. And in that time, it made me kind of like craving nurturing and craving the feminine. Mm-hmm. And what happened is, even though I'm very masculine in my business, masculine in my life in general, mm-hmm. when it came to relationships, and Lior and I met each other, we had such a connection that it was like, it almost made me lose my own frame. And what happened is I dropped my masculinity in a way. So in a way, you maybe were activating your masculine mm-hmm. because of your business and your other stuff, but I was also not providing the masculine structure and the masculine frame for you to feel safe in.
Right.
And it was because I was so attached to you and I was relationship focused. So, and masculine feminine dynamics in general, the feminine is normally relationship focused and wants connection, wants to feel safe and loved. And the masculine is normally on the purpose and goal driven. And that these are like just kind of like ways of describing masculine feminine dynamics. But I dropped my purpose in a way. I was still making YouTube videos, still wanted to be successful, but I dropped that purpose in a way and would put you as the center of focus. And when I would put you as the center of focus and wanting to make you happy, and it was like a people pleaser thing that came from my childhood and a codependency attachment thing, it was causing you to feel ungrounded or to feel not safe. Like you could, how could you feel safe when you had to be like the leader of our relationship?
Yeah.
You know, you had to like be the driver. Because if you didn't do it, no one was going to do it. Mm-hmm. So you felt energetically
like I needed to step into that.
Like you had to.
I do in other parts of my life.
Yep. So let me do that here, mm-hmm. but now I'm going to do it here. Mm-hmm. And see, for me, it was reversed. It's like I'm already masculine in all areas of my life, but I become more feminine in the dynamics in relationships. And I think that that was like, you know, this last year or two, that's what I've learned is how to be strong in my own frame.
Right.
And how to not waver and how to hold space more so too. I think that being in the being in that kind of dynamic as well, it made me just kind of more not so grounded. You know, I didn't have good boundaries back then. There wasn't a structure for you to feel safe in because there was no structure. There was no boundaries. Like almost anything that we did, we would just figure out, but there was no like, there was no way you were going to make me mad.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like I rarely, did we ever really have fights about being mad? No, it was all passive aggressive shit, right? It was always passive aggressive. But like the difference between then is like the value system, I think for me, like what I went through the transformation was one, becoming aware of the shadow wounds. So becoming aware, and I know I've shared this with you quite a bit, but I became aware that when I used to always think it was the ex-stepmom situation because between 7 to 15 years old, I had abusive ex-stepmom in my life. And she was very controlling and manipulative and my brother and I had no freedom. I thought that that's where my feminine wound came from. And I found out later that actually when I was a kid, I felt my mom's dad died when I was one. And then my brother was born when I was three. And my brother had so many health issues when he was three, or I was one and he was, I was three and he was born.
Right.
He then, all the attention shifted from me to him.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt alone. I felt like nobody cared for me, or I didn't realize this at the time, but when we're kids, that's how we think, you know? And when my mom started becoming emotionally unavailable, I started checking out and feeling alone. So in a way, that wound from the past was something I had to go heal.
Mm-hmm.
And once I really got to the core of it and I started, I mean, really, I had to forgive my mom.
Yeah.
And I have a great mom. I have an amazing mom.
Love her.
And she's been through a lot growing up and stuff. And she had an emotionally unavailable mom in her life too. So it's normally an ancestral pattern that's passed on. But the healing for me, a lot of that was about getting to the core wound. And then also working on getting more inside of my body, which is what my shadow work integration coach has really talked to me. And I've told you a lot about that. But that has helped me become a better leader, create structure, have like a container of what's okay and what's not okay. So that in a way that helps the feminine feel safe.
Right.
You know what I mean? It's like, no, that's not cool. This is bullshit. This is this. And it's not like you're being a dick and a Nazi or anything, but it's like the feminine can feel safe in that energy. The feminine can't feel safe if they can do whatever the hell they want.
And we're finding out that that's more and more how important that is.
Yeah.
To have that kind of structure.
Yep.
And I just want to say, I realized, you know, I did a video recently about how I am shifting into my feminine energy. And a lot of people were asking how they can shift into the masculine. So I want to ask you if there's things that that people can do. But before that, I just want to preface this because we didn't really in the beginning.
Yeah.
When we talk about masculine and feminine energy, we're not talking about society's standards of masculine and feminine, right? We all right. have masculine and feminine mm-hmm. energy.
Not talking about gender
us.
Roles.
We're not talking about gender roles at all. Each person is going to feel more comfortable with a different type of balance of masculine and feminine, right?
Yeah.
There are going to be, you know, whatever gender you are, you might feel more comfortable being in your feminine, or you might feel more comfortable being in your masculine. And for me, what I've noticed, it's never going to be a 50-50 balance. I don't think that's possible.
No.
You're going to lean towards one or the other, and you're going to shift through one or the other in different times of your life.
And different times of your day.
Of your day, even.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yep.
And I use this example in my video that I did with you. You had a launch recently.
Yep.
And you were doing these live streams where you were like 2 hours, 3 hours a day, just giving free value, just teaching live stream.
Yep.
And it was like 3 days of that. And then after, you got a massage, and it was like you were shifting into the feminine where you could receive, because you need to have a balance of both energies. Mm-hmm. So again, we're not talking about gender roles here, but we are also speaking of, there has to be some sort of feminine masculine balance in relationships as well. And I have noticed that I have to have more of a balance in my friendships.
Mm.
You know, in my friendships, I'm the masculine for my female friends.
Wow.
So I bring up that stable, grounded energy.
You do,
that everything's going to be okay. We're going to take care of this. Whatever it is, bring it to me. I'll take care of it. We'll figure it out.
Yeah.
That's very masculine, right? And
the
feminine, my feminine friends, they come to me, they come crying to me like, Lior, I need help. Fix this with me. Like,
it's masculine, but I think it's also a little bit of an integrated masculine.
Yeah.
What I mean by that is the masculine can hold space, but not fix.
Right.
I know when you and I were in a relationship, I would try to fix everything.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you'd be like, I'm going through Kundalini activation. I'm like, oh, let me do this, or let me send you this. Let me pay for this session, or like try to get you to like connected to some fucking, you know, like spiritual person that can help. And I realized that was the opposite of really what you needed.
Yeah.
90% of the time, all you needed was somebody to listen to you.
Right. Just to listen.
That was it.
And hold space.
And hold space.
As the tired spiritual saying.
Yeah. 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 No kidding though.
Hold space. I remember when I first learned that saying in Rhythmia, the first time that we went.
Yeah.
I went and I did a vlog. Right after ceremony, I turned my camera on and did a vlog. And I was like, if I ever start saying hold space, unfollow me, unsubscribe. And now I'm like, well, thank you for holding space for me.
Yeah.
It's so funny how
what is that? What is that thing that we saw that was on Instagram about the, it was like the juicery or here or something like that?
My God. In Sedona, there's a place called Local Juicery. If you live in Sedona or come here, you know it's like one of the most popular hipster, also touristy places, but also local.
Yeah, it's like a $12 juice, you know,
yeah,
and like $20 granola, you know.
But it's very good, and
it's
there, and the people there are amazing. And then there's, you know, that Overheard LA, Overheard New York, so there's an Overheard Sedona. And so they posted something that says, we're looking to hire at Local Juicery, but we need real help. No more of that holding space shit.
Yeah. Totally see
that's
that happening.
Literally the spiritual
I'm just
community.
Holding space. No, make the freaking acai bowl, Greg.
Can I have my coffee?
Yeah. Come on, Mystic Greg. Just fucking get the job done.
No, it's hilarious. It's amazing here. Sedona is so mystical.
Isn't it?
It's so hippie
it
vibes. It's amazing here.
Yeah, it's a good mix.
It is.
It's
really
like grounded but flighty at the same time.
Yeah,
it's like
both.
It's got an interesting archetype on both sides here.
Yeah, totally. You know?
It's got a lot of the unintegrated. That's something that's been really irritating me recently is this unintegrated masculine. And I realize the reason it triggers me so much is because I was that way for so long. But it's almost like there's this common like thing where like people go through a spiritual awakening and they become like this mystical unicorn. I'm a Pleiadian six-dimensional dolphin alien hybrid baby. And that's who I am. You know, I'm not a human anymore. That's who I am. And, you know, taking action and like doing things to like, you know, propel your life or figuring out money, that's all low vibration.
Right.
I don't even want to hear about it. Can you just stop
He's
talking
being
about
sarcastic
it?
Sarcastic if you can't.
Yeah, I'm being totally sarcastic because like, you know, like there's a phase that a lot of people go through with the spiritual awakening where that is a phase.
Mm-hmm.
But some people stay there and they stay there unintegrated. Not like almost afraid to go into tension, especially for masculine. So especially for masculine people that want to integrate, it's like they almost need to go through a warrior's initiation or something. I kind of went through that when I started making daily videos on YouTube. I saw myself as a 9-to-5 job goer. I hated where I worked, but I said, I'm going to freaking do something about this. And I started making videos every single day. I started to see myself as a hard worker and I started becoming successful. And it was like my rite of passage, you know? And one common thing I see though is people get stuck at the level. I had a guy that was working for me, and he went through this big Kundalini activation thing, and he's all of a sudden talking about like twin flames and all this like like spiritual stuff. And it's cool. Like, I'm not downplaying any of it, but I was supposed to have him do some Facebook ads for me, some work for me. And I had him like set, ready to go. Victor and I were launching Full Time Purpose. It's like, okay, he's going to do this for us. He agreed to it. And then he goes to like log into the account the next day and like the password doesn't work or something. And then he has like this excuse. He's like, I just realized I've got synchronicity. I'm not meant to be doing this. There's a little bit of tension that came up. And I'm like, dude, what do you already, your word is bond though. Like, for a masculine energy, what you say you're going to do is what you do. You become very honest, you know? And for me, when I'm hearing that from somebody, it's like, I just want to shake them.
Yeah.
I just want to shake them and say, dude, wake up, bro. Like, you said you were going to do, and it's right. Not just about this. I know other people. There's someone else
that
I know.
That's what I was going to say. Yeah, it keeps coming up for you.
It keeps coming up. Yeah. So there's other guy was like, hey, Aaron, you know, like this guy, he's like, he could be a great coach and he could like he's got like his own gift and way of like coaching people and stuff. He's like, you know, Aaron, I don't really want to coach people. Can you just like give me your advice as to how to like make YouTube videos? Because I want a more passive approach to where I don't have to like really take action. I just want to like make videos and put them up and not have to really talk to people. I'm like, to me, it's like, it's total bypassing. It's looking for the easy way out. Not that the path of least resistance isn't a good thing or in alignment, but those aren't the questions you want to ask. Like, what's the easiest thing?
No, that's
what is
not.
If there's tension that comes up, like I've been saying this recently, intention, the word tension is in intention. Tension is like, isn't a bad thing. It's not like it's so much resistance. No, tension is like you have one reality where there's an autopilot. There's no tension at all because it's fucking autopilot. But then you have to set intention, which is like an outcome, something you want to create in your life. And to bridge to that new reality, you're going to have to go through a little bit of tension. Tension does not have to be bad, but it means you're going to like create some pressure. You're going to step into the unknown.
And that's where things change.
That's where the change comes.
And again, it's another cliche. Yep. It's like, if you want to experience something you've never had, you have to do things you've never done.
Yep. And doing is a part of it, I will say. But it's also, you know, when I was going through my masculine initiation, which by the way, you said she came and visited in Sedona like a year ago.
Last summer. Yeah.
Last summer.
Yeah.
And she was like, you need to go to like, you
Peru.
Know. Yeah. Things are complicated between us. And we were like, she's like, you need to go to Peru and go on like a warrior's initiation.
Yeah.
And she said that. And it always kind of stuck with me because after that, I didn't go to Peru or Machu Picchu, but I went through like, I don't even know, like 8 months of a warrior's initiation. And after coming out of it and still like, you know, integrating different aspects of it, but it's not so much that I'm doing anything different, but the doing can sometimes change the being. But it's now I am being different. I am being more integrated. I'm more in my body now. I'm more in my own integrity. I'm more polarizing now. Would you say I'm a lot, even like a couple?
Oh, you're completely different.
It's like
And you're so much more confident in yourself. And it's like you really went through that initiation.
Yeah.
And I think that that's a big issue in our society, the uninitiated masculine.
Yes.
Men don't go through that anymore. Like they do, they still do in indigenous tribes, right? They all have a sort of initiation.
You know what they do? You know what they sometimes do? I was talking to my friend Elliot about this. He has like a YouTube channel and stuff. And he was telling me what happens in warrior's initiation, and there's a philosophy to this, because I when I was talking to him months ago, I was trying to like heal the mother wound a little bit more, you know? And basically what he brought up in tribes, this is what they do. At 11 or 12 years old, when the boy is 11 or 12 years old, this is going to sound intense. It's going to sound like,
I think I know what this
but
is.
But this is what they do. When the boy looks like he's ready to become a man, they will take this 11, 12, 13-year-old boy, they will go into the village, and they will strip the boy from his mom.
Oof.
And the mom will know that it's like in a reenactment. The boy will not. The boy will think he's literally being kidnapped.
Whoa.
So that, and then what happened is he strips the boy from the mom. then he goes and he goes on these like rites of passage. He goes and he has to like hunt and he has to do these things that are very challenging
vision
and
quests.
Very difficult. Vision quest without his mom there, without even knowing if he's going to see his mom again.
Wow.
And then what happens is they have to cut the ties to the mother for them to become a man. Because otherwise they're being nurtured by their mom. And this is why you get a lot of uninitiated men that are trying to date women that remind them of their moms because they're trying to heal what they haven't healed. So this is why what they then do is eventually they bring the boy back and now the boy is a man. He is different.
Yeah.
And when they bring him back, he's not really able to see his mom as much. It's like regulated so that he doesn't get that needy clinginess back to his mom. So he still sees his mom, but it's different. Because now that's his right of passage to become a man. So in the same way, the key to this also can be forgiveness. I had to forgive my mom. My mom was doing the best she could. I had to forgive my ex-stepmom. Otherwise, I'd keep attracting that same kind of energy. But a lot of times when you and I were even like talking in some type of relationship or things were complicated, I was projecting my mom shit onto you and trying to get you to like, oh, I was projecting it onto you. And then I was like trying to get the validation and the attention back that I didn't get growing up. And what I had to do is I had to forgive my mom, but also I had to completely detach from the neediness or the nurturing or any of that. And I had to fill up my own cup and lead in my own life. And as I cut that cord and as I cut that attachment and I became more centered on myself, that's when my polarity came. That's when then I saw you and you're like, oh, this feels different. I wasn't doing anything different. I wasn't like, oh, look at me. I'm cool. Like I'm going to stand up strong. No. It's an energy that changes, but it changed energetically because I cut the ties. Now, doesn't mean I don't love my mom. I love my mom to death.
Of course.
But it's not a needy. My shadow work integration coach tells me that when you see a lot of these single moms that nurture and, you know, raise a kid that becomes a professional millionaire athlete, they always want to buy their mom like fucking houses and shit. And that's a wound. That's like they feel responsible for their mom because their mom was a single mom. But the energy dynamics of that is like an almost an unhealed thing without having that separation. So it's interesting. But until we as men or as the masculine learn to forgive our mothers and to heal that energy line between the mom and us, we will continue to keep projecting that shit onto people that we're dating, you know, or feel needy and codependent, you know. And that was something I had to learn. And once I learned that, my energy started bringing itself back in and it was just totally different. I didn't feel at the whims and attached, like I needed this or needed that. I felt confident. And then that allowed gravity to where now it's like, I'm not doing anything different, but really I'm just in my body now. That's one of the main things. I'm just in my body and present, you know?
That's so powerful. So so to integrate that masculine, that initiated divine masculine, right? So I have some women who have commented on that video that I told you about, and I have some men who are going through this who need their own sort of initiation. How can people do this on their own? How can they
without going into a tribe and stuff?
Without going to to obviously
I think for men, I'll speak on it for men just because been through.
Totally.
Women, I can kind of guess it to what some of that
maybe
would be.
Maybe I can offer some of that.
Maybe you can offer some perspective. But for men, I'd say go and focus on doing your purpose. For a man.
See, that's what I would say for women too. Go on.
Yeah. So it's being on your purpose, because if you're not on your purpose, then the feminine can feel that. The feminine is not attracted to the masculine that is wandering, hasn't found themselves, because women are searching for certainty. They like certainty. They want a guy that knows what they want, and they want a guy that knows who they are. That's really what it is. It's not even what they want, but it's who they are. And this is why sometimes you'll see a guy that fucking plays video games at his mom's house. But if he knows who he is and he knows that he just wants to play fucking video games at his mom's house and he's not searching for anything, that can still be attractive to the feminine. That's the funny thing. So it's like owning who you are.
That's so true.
And isn't it funny? Because I've seen guys that are good with dating, like good with women, and they can have $1 million, but be they can be super successful, but horrible at that because of the way they don't know who they are.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean that you have a lot of money that you know who you are.
That's so interesting.
You know, but there could be people that just do nothing, that are like kind of like they're just happy doing nothing, but they're confident and they own it. And women are like, this is sexy.
Yeah.
Because women feed on energy. They feel energy. So a guy that's integrated and confident is attractive because he's certain, and women seek that certainty. or men or feminine, finding the purpose, I think, or and also going into tension. Mm-hmm. I really think it. Like, I know the spiritual thing is to like, no, like you're a fifth dimensional Pleiadian thing. No, you're here on earth and we have physical reality, and taking action changes who you are as an identity. Mm-hmm. Like when you're, if you focus on going after your passion and you really commit to it, it's not about what you do to get there, but it's about who you become in the process. And you start to then value yourself differently. Like now, once I integrated these masculine principles, all this stuff that was stagnant in my life started to move. For example, my business, I was like, I need to like meet somebody that can help me do this vision that I had, because I didn't feel like I could do it myself. I start leading, I get into my body, I do the shadow work, integration work. I get, all of a sudden, naturally, I hire two people that are really high level. I have like all these systems set up. I started a new app. I started another app. I have so much structure now that came as a natural byproduct of me going more in my body and me leading from that frame. So the masculine is also about having a strong frame, and a strong frame is like a strong sense of reality. Mm. And that allows the feminine to feel safe and to feel like they can kind of melt and not really think too much about all that stuff. Like you have and can put up a masculine energy so that you can get shit done.
Yes.
But there's probably a part of you that wants to just
yeah.
Relax.
Exactly what I've been working on.
You know?
What I've been working on bringing into my life.
Yeah.
But then again, I do think that there are women or feminine. Okay, so people with mm-hmm. not unintegrated. What word am I looking for? The wounded feminine, yes. Basically. Like yep. The ones that are reflecting back to me through my friendships and my relationships that have kind of scared me away from being into my feminine energy.
Yeah.
And that's why I feel like I can cultivate masculine energy in order to protect myself.
Mm-hmm.
So I would say that, you know, there are some women out there who do want to bring more of that masculine energy into their lives.
It's not a bad thing.
Which is a good thing.
It's
and exactly. I would tell them the same thing. I would say, make your purpose important to you.
Yeah.
And that's honestly been very rewarding for me personally, because it has also made me, in a sense, just more magnetic, because my frame is also in myself, right? In
yeah.
my own life. But just know that it could get to a place where you're going to want to like relax and surrender and
right.
do that feminine thing that it's like, okay, I don't need to be the hunter.
Right.
I don't need to be the,
yep.
yeah, I don't need to be the.
And I can trust
yes.
someone else mm-hmm. to hunt.
So I've been running from feminine energy, and that's been reflected back to me from my relationships, because I didn't recognize that there's a difference between wounded feminine and divine
empowered.
Feminine,
yes.
empowered feminine, the same as wounded masculine and empowered masculine.
So what's the difference between the tell me what the empowered or the divine
right.
feminine is, and what is the unintegrated or wounded feminine?
So the wounded feminine, in my perspective and from what I've seen, is kind of like the weepy, the clingy, the
yeah.
needy, the codependent.
Yep.
And I'm so afraid of that I pushed it out of my life completely. But that's not all the feminine can be. Now, the empowered feminine could be the one that calls in,
yeah.
that trusts, that creates. The empowered feminine creates worlds, right?
Yeah.
Through the
inner feminine, worlds.
Inner worlds, exactly. He did it. He said the name of the podcast.
Yeah.
The empowered feminine is the creatrix of all of reality.
Creatrix.
Anything that is manifested is feminine, Aaron, because it's all material. The masculine is consciousness.
Yep.
The masculine is the unmanifested. Women give birth, right?
Yeah.
And then the men.
Physicality.
And sorry to get into, it's so hard to walk around the, you know, the gender role things. I'm just saying, biologically, women, right, create, that we give birth, and men give that consciousness. So together, worlds are created. But everything that is physical and anything that comes into physicality comes through the feminine.
Yeah.
Right?
I agree.
So that yeah. is the empowered feminine. There's so much power in it. There's so much force in that.
Mm-hmm.
And you could be a president, a CEO. You could be this divine being that calls everything in, and you don't need to be so much in that masculine energy. And I'm learning that.
Yeah.
And there's all these really powerful females, I think we've talked about some before, who can lead in their feminine energy.
Yeah.
So I think that a lot of women are like me, that they see themselves, you know, maybe I protected myself by being in that masculine, but there's a lot of women who don't like where they are, and they feel like they need to be more masculine because they feel codependent and clingy and weepy
yeah.
and weak.
Yeah.
Right. But that's not femininity that's not the full range of it. You can be the empowered feminine too. So it's all about like what our journeys have been about, looking at what's inside of us and deciding not to run away from things anymore, but to integrate and to learn and to heal, not to run away from feeling that way, what, you know, that wounded masculine way that came from your childhood,
right?
And needing the feminine to fix it and
to nurture it. I think it's a process on both sides, you know. And it's the same for the man, the like men in general. It's like there's the uninitiated,
right?
And then there's the toxic.
So there's the toxic,
the toxic as well. The uninitiated, there's a lot of like soft spiritual guys that are like super soft spoken and like don't want to go into tension,
flowy.
And there's nothing wrong with this, because as we,
it's just another aspect.
It's just another aspect. But there's a shadow to that, I believe.
Yeah.
And when you become integrated, you become very still. The masculine is also very still. It's not like always moving around like all the time. And like it's like a very still energy that listens and is like present. And it's understanding how to go within to like cultivate that energy. And on the toxic side of it, you get a lot of toxic masculine that like have to assert their power, and it's very narcissistic, and it's like
aggressive
and aggressive and manipulative. And that's the other side. So there's like there's two sides to each of these, you know, and probably different variations of it, but healing, you know, for me, it was the codependent side because of the mom wound.
Yeah.
And that was, once I healed that, then I became way more integrated and way more grounded and way more present. And that's what changed everything. But it's a lot of it's the inner child work. And then stepping into that energy, knowing that it's also your core. You and I used to tell you this all the time, Lior, your energy is naturally feminine. You have a very flowy, like right before we got on this podcast, it's like you immediately were like, I don't want structure. I said, good, because that's the masculine. You want it to be a flowy conversation, because that's feminine. You know, you're feminine. You are feminine by nature, but you've learned the masculine because the masculine for you has kept you safe.
Yeah.
And allowed you to be very successful.
Because the success meant safety for me as well.
The success meant safety.
Yeah.
Your dad told you when you were a kid, don't ever let him, what did he say? Like,
no, he told me a few years ago, he said, if we're talking about the same thing, he said, get used to it. Men are going to be intimidated from powerful women.
Is that that's part of it.
Okay.
But it was also that don't ever like rely, like something that made you realize you had to create success for yourself. Don't rely on a man. Don't rely.
Oh, that's, it's more, that was honestly, that came from my parents, like, separation. It's more that I saw, you know, my mom worked my entire life, so I always saw a woman working. I know a lot of my friends didn't have that experience. Their moms were stay-at-home mothers. And so I always saw that you should work for yourself, but I also saw from their separation that it's like, oh, you really got to protect yourself. You got to you got to take care of you, because a man could leave at any moment. A man could always leave.
And then you'd be left with nothing.
And then you're left with nothing.
Instead, what I'm going to do is I'm going to create an incredible amount of success, not just for me, but for my family as well, because things fell apart in the past. So I'm going to create this as protection, as safety, and it creates success. My mom wound, I realized this on when I was doing Huachuma in Costa Rica, or like, you know, ayahuasca. And I realized that my YouTube channel is partially a reflection of the lack of attention that I got growing up. I was craving significance and attention because I didn't get it growing up. So here, what I'll do is I'll create success on YouTube and I'll help people, but I'll get attention from millions of people, grow my audience to millions, and then I'll feel worthy and I'll fill up that cup. So then what would happen is I'd get close to women that I'd be dating or something, and I would have this block around intimacy, because if it would start to interfere with my YouTube channel, it's then threatening. If she can't give me my nurturing, then my YouTube, then it's a threat. So I would never get too close. I would never be too vulnerable. I would just kind of stay a little bit more surface level, even though I'm a deep person. I'm not natural. I like to go deep, you know, but there's a, I've realized that a lot of, you know, the masculine's meant to lead. And leading, that's another huge thing with the masculine is leading. But I wasn't leading with vulnerability. I wasn't leading in that way. And that caused me to then have that, like, that, that where I didn't feel safe if it was either the woman's going to give it to me, the person I'm dating, or my YouTube channel. And when I realized that, I then realized that the reason I am the way so protective and fearful that something's going to happen to my channel I'm literally trying to protect my mother wound.
Ooh.
But now as I've healed it, I stopped giving a shit what people think. Way less. Like, I talk about things that I would have never really talked about before, even though it causes people to both like me more and dislike me. It's like I don't care because I'm not tying my sense of well-being and validation from my YouTube channel anymore. I'm doing it from within. And because I feel it from within, now it's like I feel confident within myself and that energy goes out. And then that allows the feminine to feel safe and it allows me to lead more and not to be like triggered and like kind of fickle around attention and significance. So
that's so powerful.
Yeah, it's an interesting realization. Wow. But yeah, we're trying to create our safety for ourselves and it'll get us. So the point behind that was the fucking YouTube stuff that came as a gift to the mother wound. So it's not that it's horrible.
Yes.
It's a gift.
It's a trigger.
It's a trigger and a gift, but it'll only get you so far. If I want to be in a relationship with somebody that I love, that I'm vulnerable with and have a deep connection with, I have to do that work.
Right.
And not be chasing that in somebody else, not be chasing attention in someone else. And that's what, you know, like for you, the masculine has served you and you can still pop in and pop out of the totally. Masculine. But in relationship, if you wanted to really feel like safe, you'd have to start to trust.
Mm-hmm.
If you really wanted to feel like you could melt and you could kind of, you would have, there's certain things you would have to do that, even though this aspect of your life will always be successful if you keep that hardened, like mentality up around success and empowerment.
But you want your life to be successful in all ways.
In all areas.
In balance.
Yep.
I think that's basically where we're getting at is that each one of us could nurture and nourish and enrich our lives if we kind of look at what energies are, what's happening inside of us, what kind of balance we're having or what balance we're not having, right?
So, yeah.
So whoever's listening right now, the way that they could implement this into their own lives is through looking at themselves, self-analysis, right?
Yeah.
Feeling what they're feeling, looking at their lives and being like, well, where do I show up in what way?
Mm.
Do I have moments of empowered feminine? Do I have moments of divine masculine? Do I have moments of that uninitiated or that toxic masculine?
Yeah.
Or that unintegrated, wounded feminine?
Yeah.
You know, and just looking at yourself and seeing where could I lean into the way that I'm feeling and what energies I'm putting out there and where could I implement this archetype of the divine feminine, the divine masculine to expand my life in a better way, to look a better way.
Yeah.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. So like, to heal it exactly. So that you can show up in an integrated, I mean, right. The goal here is to be integrated.
Yes. Fully
and
integrated.
It's never like, I think you figured it all out. You know, like there's always just layers to it. There's layers to it now that I was unaware of years ago. And like the YouTube example of like the reflection of the mom wound.
Huge.
And like.
Huge.
Who knows now? Now in 2 years from now, we could be doing a podcast episode again. And I'm like, oh, I look back now and I'm like, oh, look at that cringy energy of this was this thing. You know, not that it's always important to find the exact wound of where it exactly came from, but the awareness is really the key to transformation because then yeah. You can make new choices about who you are.
Mm-hmm.
You can decide to go into feel, you know, and the feeling is the healing. And the body is the subconscious mind that is absorbing
totally.
The trauma of the past. And many of us, especially spiritual people that have been through an awakening, they have exited their bottom three chakras and gone into the top chakras. And now they're super empathic and they can feel everyone's energy and they always know how other people are feeling and they might be people pleasers, but it's because they're not in their own body feeling the separation.
Mm.
It's a huge thing for me is actually feeling the separation between me and the candle flame.
When you told me that.
It was a game changer for me.
Complete game changer. And now
yeah.
I'm constantly trying to create like an energetic separation from people because
yep.
I'm always soaking everything in.
Yeah.
So powerful.
Yeah. And eventually what happens is at first you have to set outer boundaries. Outer boundaries is like somebody calls you that's like demanding your energy or they're telling you you're going to do something and you like don't feel like doing it or something. And you have to say, you know what? I got to draw a line here. This isn't cool.
Mm.
That's outer boundaries. But inner boundary is when you have it so set in place that almost nobody would even think of crossing that energetic line. I call it energetics.
Ooh.
So instead of energetics.
Energetics.
Like energetics.
Yeah, right.
Because it's like you have this energetic boundary to where it actually, they can just feel that they don't cross that line.
I love that.
Because you're so much, you're filling up your cup so much, you love yourself so much that you wouldn't even entertain like that you'd feel guilty for not doing something that they're trying to guilt you into. But if they don't feel that energetic boundary, you're going to have to set outer boundaries. you know, but eventually you become so integrated that you'll just walk through the suit. When I go to a supermarket, I go to like Whole Foods and they have that whole mask thing.
Yeah.
And here in Sedona, by the way, like you can get your temperature checked before you go. Now you don't have to wear a mask at all. But even back in the day, you had to like get your temperature checked to then go in. And sometimes people would tell me stories of how people would come up to them and like scold them for not wearing a mask, even though they had their temperature checked or whatever, and how that would go. And then that never happened to me once. Because
of that that
energetic boundary that I have. And if somebody would have came up to me, maybe it was just the way I carry myself too. You know, I've had some people make little remarks here and there, even though I'm doing the rules, I'm doing what I'm allowed. But it's like there's a way you carry yourself where there's some people that may treat one person one way because of their energy, and another person, they wouldn't even imagine it. But it's an energetic thing, you know? But it comes from being in the body.
Yeah.
When I go through the supermarket, I'm feeling this. I'm not like tuning to their vibration to see how they feel. I'm just like in my own body. Right. And there's a magnetism to being in your own body that makes interactive, makes like just being around people different, you know, because you feel that they're centered in their gravity and their energy, and that there's a magnetism to that versus projecting energy out at people, trying to feel what they're feeling, trying to like get something from them, like the whole people pleasing thing is, you know, and it's just different. But yeah, it's an energetic boundary that we create because we're so in our own container, in our own body.
Oh, I love that so much. And I'm working on that myself.
Yeah, you're doing a good job. Yeah. You're doing a really good job. I've seen you since, you know.
I'm changing.
Like
I am.
A month or two ago when we had that, when we were talking about it. And yeah. There were
I've made changes since then.
The reflections you were getting to where you had to kind of put your foot down, yes, and create outer boundaries.
So yeah, so I'm on the outer boundaries part and I'm building that energetic boundary.
Yep.
That energetic. So before we wrap this up, this was so incredible. But what I want to do is I ask every guest a few books that they recommend. And are there any books along what we talked about today, Aaron, that you would recommend to people?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yeah. One book that came to mind that I want to mention earlier is called The Body Keeps the Score.
I love that book.
Do you like that book?
Yes, I love it.
The Body Keeps the Score. The body
is the
patterns.
Subconscious mind. The subconscious mind is the body.
Yeah. So when you go into your body and you feel emotions that you maybe didn't feel growing up and you start healing it, it's like very powerful. That's a great book. Masculine Feminine Energy. There's a book that is going to be, a lot of people may not relate to this book, or it's kind of a, not a harder book to read, but it's a book that my shadow work integration coach that I pay a lot of money to work with, and I've been working with for months. He's definitely helped change my life. He's got like a double PhD in Carl Jung philosophy and stuff like that.
Yeah.
Psychology. I mean, there's a book called He and a book called She. He
I have
and
both
She.
Of those.
Robert, you do?
Yes.
Did I tell you to get them? Or
they're not Carl Jung. Are they astrology books a little bit?
No. These are like archetypal books where there's a story. Like there's a wound of the feminine and the masculine, and it's like the guy is going on a journey to heal the Fisher King wound, and he's doing it for the king. But all these characters
so cool.
have a symbolic representation of how the masculine energy works. And he has to eventually take off the garment that his mom made him. His mom makes him a garment for when he goes out on the journey, and the garment she handmade, and he's wearing it, and he cannot actually become a man until he takes off the garment his mom made him. So it's very
That's
symbolic.
Amazing.
Yeah. So there's, It's kind of a harder read, and it's a real quick read though.
It's like a small book.
Small little book.
So my astrology teacher recommended it to me, but I have them, but I haven't read it.
Oh yeah.
It, so that sounds really, so He and then She.
He and then She, and it's I think Rob Pattinson, I forget the exact name.
Okay.
But that's a great book. Way of the Superior Man
is
a great book for both men and women.
Uh-huh.
It talks about feminine energy, masculine energy, the difference between hot woman and cool woman, and like how to like manage your energy throughout the day and how a man should be on his purpose and stuff like that. What else is like an
And
amazing...
that's a book that I've read as well. It helps women as well just to know, you know, what kind of relationships with men you could have, you know?
Yeah.
And what kind of man you want to be with and
yeah.
or partner or masculine partner. It doesn't have to be a man, of course.
Yeah, no, it can be.
Yeah, whatever. You know. It's whatever.
I love how mindful you are at everybody listening to this episode.
I want to make
part
sure
of the
everybody's
sensitivity.
Included.
That's part of the sensitivity though in the collective consciousness, I think, is like it kind of deters us from just having a conversation because we're trying to make everyone happy. Oh, what if we say this? What if someone's other? We have love for everybody.
Yeah.
But
I'm just trying my best to navigate.
You have such good heart.
You know,
you have such a good heart.
But yeah, I agree. It kind of gets in the way of just talking.
It does a little bit. Totally. Yeah, because it's, and I understand it, but the old version of me, by the way, would be very, very like, I don't know. I'd be like, yeah, we can't say this, or we'd have to edit this out or something. But now I'm like, okay, some people may be triggered if somebody says male and female. Like, that's the kind of sensitive society we live in now. And it's like, it's kind of just being and not get so triggered over these things.
Absolutely.
You know? You're just bringing
completely
something
agreed.
Up if somebody gets triggered.
But we still are completely loving and hoping that
towards everybody
will be whoever they
transgender,
want. Transgender, don't care,
male,
whatever,
female, doesn't matter.
It. We love it. We have,
you know.
Yes. Okay.
Yeah. Thank you for getting that out there.
With that, where can people find you, Aaron, if they don't already know? Because I'm sure everybody's already subscribed.
Some people probably don't know me, by
okay,
the way. You make it sound like I'm like fucking like some like huge celebrity. I have a podcast called the Aaron Dowdy Podcast.
Great podcast. 2 times a week, right?
2 times a week, Tuesdays and Thursdays. That's where I put a lot of my energy these days. And then just Instagram at Aaron_Dowdy44 and YouTube Aaron Dowdy. I post 3 times a week there. And on Instagram, I post sometimes.
Thank you so much for gracing us with your divine masculine.
Thank you for having me on. I love this episode. It was so much fun.
It was so much fun. Oh, and we're going to do one for his podcast eventually,
absolutely.
Too.
Yep.
Yeah. 100%. I've been on there a few times.
Thank you for having me on.
Thank you for being here.
And thank you for you making your podcast, too. I think so many people are going to resonate with it. And then you just have such an amazing energy that I think people are going to be able to put in their ears when they're working out and they're doing things. And it's going to be super cool to see how it grows because you're already like trending as like one of the top 30 or 50 or something like that.
Yeah, it was like top 40, something like
that.
That's
yeah, that's awesome. So you're killing it. I love everything you're doing. I love you as a person. So
thank you. Thank you so much for being here.
Of course.
And remember to honor the universe inside of you. Sing it.
No.
See, he's making a boundary with me.
Yeah, that's my boundary.
Get it. All right.